It's time to recap it, and who better to do it than Michael New Magic? Two bros slash pros who cover the highs and lows of racing around the globe on every one of their shows. Real fans look forward to these guys and their last thoughts, cause they know they're not talking out of their royal ascots. What they say makes sense, so ladies and gents, sit back and relax as Blinkers Off presents The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is The Magic Mike Show, episode 315. Mr. Samich.
Huzzah!
We got a big, fun show planned today. Lots of racing to cover. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It was a big time weekend. It was just prep race after prep race after prep race for the Breeders' Cup. And it's the last time we're going to see a lot of these horses. So a lot of replays that we're going to watch from this weekend. And yeah, looking forward to see what happens here.
Give me 1 second here. I realized, so there's been issues with Twitter, with Facebook, and StreamYard, the program we used to go live. Facebook is down, if you're not aware.
Having a rough day.
Yeah, rough day for those people. Instagram, WhatsApp, everything. Twitter is not broadcasting this live, so I'm tweeting it out right now. So we're going to try and get everybody to come join us here on the YouTube show. Ultimately, Mike and I have talked about this. Ultimately, we'd love to make this a YouTube-only show just because it makes it easier to interact with everybody in one central location there. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun show today. I was at Santa Anita in the press box Saturday for the action, so I was down on the track for a lot of action, so we can talk about that. You had all sorts of crazy action across the country going. I'm sure you had a lot of tournament fun as well. I didn't see your photo getting passed around on Twitter, so I guess you didn't win any big tournaments.
Yeah, not fun. It was just an even weekend.
Sorry.
One of those weird, like, where you just, like, the football picks went 3-3 and 3-2 in the honorable mentions. I qualified for a bunch of tournaments, but didn't win any of the main events. Hit a couple pick fives, but they all paid like $400. So I ended up even for the weekend, playing the horses too. So it was just kind of one of those just even weekends, which is fine. You know, you gotta have some even weekends in there. It's better than losing. But
yes. Yeah,
it was a lot of interesting races, a lot of chalk around the country, a lot of wire-to-wire winners, which I'm sure we're going to talk about quite a bit here, and how that's going to shape up the Breeders' Cup projections and how horses are going to do there. But it was all around, it was a fun weekend, just not that profitable.
Hey, look at this. Michael Myers says his daughter Gianna's home. She was born early, so they're holding her a little just to be safe at the hospital, so she's home. So congrats. That's got to be a huge relief. Although I know he was sleeping at home, so I hope you enjoy those extra little bits of nights of sleep, because it's gone.
It's almost like cheat codes in a way. Not ones you're looking for, but definitely makes those first couple days a little bit easier from the sleep factor.
Yeah. Yeah. On today's show, like I said, we're going to be covering we're going to do something a little bit differently here. Rather than talk about race by race and go through a structure that way, we're going to look at the Breeders' Cup division as a whole, because it's pretty much going to be a Breeders' Cup-centric show from here on until the World Championships in a month. So if you're joining us live or the replay, thanks so much. Visually, this is going to be pretty interesting. We're going to go division by division and kind of talk about the horses that we saw that were could be factoring into the Breeders' Cup, and then tell you how we think they factor into the overall division. So some of these will be pretty easy. Some of these will got a little bit interesting here, but I'm excited to get into it. Before we do, what is the best thing you saw? You teased me that it's something I wouldn't expect here.
Yeah, I got a little crazy on eBay this week, and luckily it's in now. So I got my next like midnight eBay purchase. So we always talk about like horses that impacted the game for people, and a lot of people will talk about Zenyatta that way. A lot of people I talk about Concern that way a lot. A lot of people will talk about this specific horse. So when I was young, growing up in Chicago, my dad and I were going to Arlington all the time, and there was the Cigar Citation Challenge was the big race that was held there. Jerry Baylor at the time, my favorite jockey. So I went on, and I was able to find a nice little signed program here. It's a Cigar Citation Challenge signed program.
Here, hold that. Sorry. Hold that up one more time. I'll make a solo.
There we go. So we got that from Paulson, Mott, and Bailey, the owner, trainer, and jockey. Then we picked up the race day ticket, which cost $3 to get in that day.
Okay.
We've got the nice $2 win ticket. We got cigar in the background there with a nice little, yeah. And then the photo of Arlington sitting in the back. So putting all that together, and we're going to make one of these over like that right there, like we got with Concern. So we'll put it all together and have something hung up hopefully in a couple weeks here. That's the next thing that's going on the wall.
That's awesome. Looking forward to that. I've got some horse racing memorabilia of my own. Some of it's a little farther back. It's small, so you can't really see it that well. But the big stuff is kind of framed throughout the house. So I don't have as interesting of a background. I got to get one of those banners like you have over your right shoulder.
Everyone's jealous of the banner, man.
And you didn't even know you had it for a couple of years there. So it's not fair. Not fair. Mike's got all the toys and he doesn't even know he has them. The best thing that I saw is you were thinking it was going to be my day at the track Saturday, and you're close. I'll tell you exactly what the best thing was that I saw is I got up to the press box, and I was like anxious, nervous all day about going because I haven't been back to San Diego in a long time. And Tiz is running, which always adds to my anxiety on a race day. So get up to the press box, get in my spot, settle in. I'm like, yep, pretty damn gorgeous view of the mountains in the background right there. Sun hitting it, just beautiful. And I get my laptop out, and I go to get my charger. I don't have my laptop charger, Mike. I'm like, rusty, well, this is I'm rusty. I'm like, shit, well, this is gonna be interesting. All right, well, I should at least plug in my phone. I don't have my phone charger either. I'm at the track for like, so I'm looking about a 6-7 hour day. I don't have a laptop charger. I have a phone charger. Luckily, I'm sitting at about 77% with both devices. My phone has something called battery saver. There's extreme battery saver where it literally shuts off everything and you have to unpause it. So I did that. I ended the day with 61% battery, so that was pretty impressive. Wow. The laptop made it until right as the John Henry, the last race of the day, was going in the gate. So that one, I managed to make it work. But the reason it's the best thing that I saw, the missing laptop charger, Mike, it forced me to have just a day at the track. I didn't worry about work. I took some notes. I made a couple little fun bets here and there. There were, little hunch plays. I couldn't even look at PP, so I'm just going off of hunch plays. Also, bad day, by the way, to try and beat any chalk at Santa Anita on Saturday. Learned that the hard way. But yeah, I just got to enjoy. So things that I got to do. Joy Taylor, who's the Fox Sports, she's the co-host with Colin Cowherd on his show. She was there. Rode in the elevator with her. She was presenting the trophy. So I got to talk to her for a minute. Literally ran into Johnny Drama from Entourage, one of Saratoga Slim's favorite people.
Yep, big horse guy too.
Huge horse racing fan. Yeah, Slim ran into him at the Breeders' Cup. I was hitting all of Saratoga Slim's favorites from the 2017 Breeders' Cup because I literally almost ran over Florent Giroux. He got dropped off at the track right as I was pulling into the employee side of the parking, and he started to cross over, and I was like, and then he saw me and he stopped, but I was like, immediately I recognized. I was like, That's freaking Florent Giroux. So I rolled by my window and yelled at him. And I was like, hey, have a good day. Like, good luck. Watch out for traffic. which I don't think he did a good job of because I don't think he got any wins. But then I ran into who else? There was TVG people, owners. Just people that I'm like, oh, yeah, you're like worth like $8 million. And I was just like shooting my shots all over the place. I was like, I'm going to talk to you. It was amazing, incredible. I had a great time. Don't even care that I was up until 11:30 writing race recaps. Because once you get home from a day away, you know this. As a father, you get home. Wife's like, hi, welcome home. Here's the baby.
Yep.
a couple hours of that, which is fun. But anyways, overall, it was just a great day to just literally, I was in the winner, standing in the winner's circle for a bunch of the races. When going to Vegas, when the Rodeo Drive and literally 200 plus people from my racehorse and Abbandanza Racing flooded in that they had to call security because they were spilling onto the track. Almost got run over in that. So that was fun. I'll think of some more, I'm sure, but just a lot of really great stories and little experiences. It just was like, it was like hitting a hard reset on my love for horse racing and being there. I was like, I'm invigorated. I'm ready for the Breeders' Cup and I'm ready for this show.
Yeah, man. The first times you get to go back to the track with the crowd after the whole pandemic, and obviously it's still going on. And so I'm not meaning that at all, but like going back to Saratoga this summer and being at the track with a crowd sitting in the infield in the back, like some of the stuff you enjoy so much is just being there. It's not even, it's like, obviously love the horse races, love betting, love all that jazz, but just being able to be there with the fans and everybody's yelling and cheering and the horses are going and everything, it just brings it all back. Be able to sit there and have a good time. So I'm glad to hear that your laptop, or that you made the mistake of forgetting your cord, so you were able to actually experience the racetrack versus sitting up there and just typing away.
Right. Well, it's not that I'll still sit up there and watch, but I'm usually, I'll stop, I'll watch for 3 minutes, and then I'm back to work. So this way, literally, I wandered around the paddock. Yeah, I got a good story, a couple stories about the Dr. Scheibel incident with the rain too. So that was fun. Anyways, we got a long show to get into. You ready to get this going?
Let's do it, man.
All right, we're looking at every single Breeders' Cup prep race, official and unofficial, from this past weekend. We're going to tell you what we think, going division by division. Riders up! Mike, as I said, we're going to be looking at things a little bit differently because we had so many races. We're going to be going division by division. And over here at racenews.com, Aaron Hultman every week, his early predictions race by race. He'll have the next one up here on Wednesday, I believe, at the website. So we're going to use last week, so it's a little outdated. Hasn't been refreshed from what we saw, but this will be our guide. We'll start with the classic, Mike. We had two unofficial winning your ends. The Grade 1 Woodward, the Art Collector 1, get a 107 buyer. Nick's Go with 104 buyer for winning the Lucas Classic when I don't think he even broke a sweat. Similar for Medina Spirit, getting a 107 at winning the Awesome again. Nick's Go with the smallest buyer, Mike, but I thought it was the most impressive of the three. I actually made him the number one star of the weekend. He just keeps making things look easy out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those weekends where we really didn't learn anything, right? I mean, all three of these races have wire-to-wire winners, probably the best horse run each. Max Field's an awful favorite. Not sure why that – like, I understand why.
Hey, where's Max our buddy Field's in the chat, favorite. By the way? Max
Field. I don't know. I understand why Max Field is a favorite because, yeah, Max Field, but, like, man, that was a bad favorite. So I think all three of the best horses won the race. They all went wire-to-wire. I mentioned that in the open. Like, there were a lot of wire-to-wire winners this weekend, which just doesn't necessarily tell you as much. So it'll be interesting to see – what happens when they all stack up in the classic. I think it's interesting here that we have Aaron's pick as essential quality. The only way you can pick against Nick's Go is if you think he's going to face pressure early. And that's really what the main question this is going to be is who enters, how does this draw? Because if Nick's Go doesn't face that early pressure, he looked comfortable doing it. He's going to look comfortable again in November at Del Mar if he has no one on his throat latch. And I was talking about this on the live Breeders' Cup show we did for ABR on Saturday. We talked so much about the draw in the Derby. And how important that was. Man, if Nick's Ghost draws inside of Medina Spirit, who's most likely the only horse that can press him, it could be over, right? I mean, if Medina Spirit draws inside, Medina Spirit has to send. And that could force the pace duel that really cooks Nick's Go and makes it much more difficult for him to hold off the horses coming from the back. But if Medina Spirit draws outside of Nick's Go, it's a problem. It's going to be tough to beat Nick's Go.
And to Aaron's credit, he says, right now I'll take essential quality with the assumption that Nick's Go actually gets pace pressure that softens him up. We have never seen that in a route race for Nick's Go since he's been with Brad Cox. And so before we move on from this, Mike, is there any horse such as a Medina Spirit or an Art Collector, horses that run on the Hot Rod Charlie runs on the front end, is there anyone who is fast enough that can wear Nick's Go down so that at a mile and a quarter, someone like an essential quality can get up there for the win?
I mean, the only horse that you mentioned in that group is Medina Spirit that has the cruising speed. And we talked about this when we were looking at the Kentucky Derby. Had four of the fastest eight opening half miles in the prep races. Medina Spirit is naturally fast and could press Nick's Go if he really wants to. It's going to come down to what do you do with it. I would assume, I mean, look, if I'm the ownership group of Medina Spirit, I'm telling Johnny V just send 100%. Like, do you really think Nick's – here's the other question. Do you think Medina Spirit can pass Nick's Go and down the lane? No. The way Medina Spirit wins this race is going wire to wire. So you'd assume that Medina Spirit has to send, has a high enough cruising speed to cause trouble for Nick's Go. Life is Good is really the one horse that we haven't talked about, that if for some reason in the classic, that's the horse that can really absolutely speedball out here. But it's going to be up to Medina Spirit, it looks like. Because, like, look, Hot Rod Charlie, yeah, he's fast early, but he's not fast early. He's not Nick's Go fast early, right? So I think it's going to be awfully tough if Medina Spirit doesn't press Nick's Go for Nick's Go to get caught down the lane.
Let's move on to the turf here because we've actually there's one that I added, Mike. I made Mike a nice little spreadsheet because of how many races we had. It's like here's all the information, so you don't want us to spend half the show clicking around trying to find stuff.
Real quick,
yes.
Before we go on past the classic, I kind of like Dr. Post underneath if he goes.
God, get the.
I thought he was the most impressive in that Woodward outside of Art Collector, obviously won the race. But he went three wide. Maxfield trips out, and he almost got up for a second. I think Dr. Post is actually the most interesting out of that race.
We're going to move on to the turf division here. over the weekend, one winning you're in for the turf. that was held, one that wasn't an official one, but we'll start Saturday at Santa Anita. United winning the John Henry Stakes Grade 2 race for the second straight year. I've watched that replay. I was there in person, Mike. I don't understand how the hell he got there. Acclimate was almost won that thing gate to wire. Friars rode a horse that you and I were both all over because of how much he seemed to improve on turf. Good Lord, I think this is a turf horse from Michael McCarthy. We also had the Arc de Triomphe at Longines overseas. The reason this is important is because, not because the winner coming over, he's not, Torquator Tasso, I'm probably saying that way wrong. He is not coming over. He's going to target the Japan Cup next. The reason this is important, Mike, is because in his last race, he was the 9-5 favorite. Third place finisher was Walton Street. Walton Street came and won the Canadian International. Who does Aaron have as his top pick here? Walton Street. Torquator Tasso got the job done over Tarnawa, Hurricane Lane, Adyar, Snowfall.
Oh man, magic freezes. So, like, the funny thing too about that race is if you watch some of the live shows, they were talking. Yep, I'm here. Did you freeze or did I freeze? So it's ironic that Walton Street's up there. That was his second off a layoff when he came back. And they were actually, that race that he was coming off of in Europe was considered one of the weaker preps and now is one of the stronger preps because of what we've seen come back in both the ARC and then here in the Canadian International. So I agree. Walton Street looked awfully good in that race. This is one of those that I don't envy Aaron having to write this article without knowing who's actually going to be in this race, because my pick will change from like 2 weeks before to the week before to even maybe 2 days before, depending on who's in, who's out, and who's coming over, because that's really the big story here. But Walton Street was wildly impressive up in Toronto, and I would not be shocked at all if he runs a big one out in San Diego either.
Tarnawa was second in the ARC too, less than a length behind the winner, and she got off a little slow. So that's two races now where she's finished second. She probably was the best horse in the race. You remember she lost St. Mark's Basilica when thought they did. The guys did a great job describing just how far visually they showed the video. You know, she went the entire stretch over into the walking path in that last race. So anyways, as far as the turf goes, Walton Street looks pretty strong here for Charlie Appleby. I'm with you, Mike. I'm changing my ideas a little bit day to day, but it's all going to be based around who comes over European-wise. I don't know at this point, as much as I love domestic spending, I don't know if he's going to be able to handle these horses.
Yeah, I mean, Tanawa right now is your favorite at 2.25-1 overseas. You can get Walton Street at 10-1 right now. So if you are interested in Walton Street, I think Walton Street is one of those horses that probably will run. Like, I don't expect him to go back and then come. I think he's going to go and ship right to San Diego and run. So I don't have that same concern of him not showing up. Tanawa, we haven't officially heard whether or not she's coming. So we're still kind of in limbo in that front. Domestic spending right now, 5-1. I would much rather take Walton Street at 10-1 than domestic spending at 5-1.
Nick Feldman in the chat brings up, is there a legit speed horse in the turf?
Define legit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Will there be cheap speed? I'm sure. Which channel horse is it? Channel Maker or Channel Cat that likes to go to the lead when they have the slow New York horse? Channel Cat,
both
right?
Both of them pretend they like the lead, but they both go 49 and change. I wouldn't be shocked if you see someone even like, maybe not Acclimate, but someone from like award winner possibly, someone like that from this the race at Del Mar, or at Santa Anita this weekend, who ends up at Del Mar and ends up being the pace.
You don't think they send Acclimate? I think that actually could be a sneaky one. I mean, I don't think he's going to win, but I think that's a sneaky surprise horse to be the pace there. I mean, you see, he almost beat United, and he ran well at Del Mar last time in the handicap. So
he almost beat United. Like, that's enough to win the Breeders' Cup turf. Come on.
He almost beat United. He'll be alone. I know. No, it's Phil D'Amato. It's California. He loves to do that. Let's move on. The Distaff division here. This one will be a fun one to talk about. We had the Zenyatta Stakes with Private Mission, a horse that I was more than willing to play very heavily in the Cotillion, and instead, but we were stuck with Always Karina. That didn't work out well. Also, Crazy Beautiful wins an inaugural stakes race in Churchill Downs on Friday called the Seneca. She gets a 91. She's probably not going Breeders' Cup. I brought it up in case she shows up, but she has danced a lot of good dances at the smaller stakes races around the country. So Kenny McPeak isn't afraid to throw horses into the mix. So it could be interesting. But the question for me, did Private Mission do enough to show you she could beat Letruska?
No, hard no. And this is, look, the California Phillies have been multiple steps behind the East Coast Phillies all year. So I don't understand how, like, all of a sudden you're going to see this Baffert, well, okay, maybe this Baffert horse come out of nowhere and be able to get the job done. But I was not that impressed. Private Mission probably is going to want to be closer to the pace. Letruska is just so much faster than Private Mission early that it's going to cause some struggles there as well. So for me, like, I don't think any of these California horses are really that difficult, that tough. So I'm hoping people will bet Private Mission just so I can get a better price on some of the other horses that I like that are coming over from the East Coast.
I've said this for a long time. I want to try and beat Letruska in this race. I think I need to wait and see who really shows up. I'm willing to use Private Mission. It would be her third start. She's won at Del Mar. She won the Torrey Pines over this summer. And she's got Baffert and she's got Pratt and she's got the winning concoction going on. She's really done really nothing wrong other than not face a monster like Letruska. So now, do I want to see Baffert beat Letruska? Like, the story wise, hell no. The connections with Letruska, that's a great story.
Yeah, it is. And I think that Letruska is the vulnerable favorite. I mean, I know that I've been talking about this for a couple shows in a row. Like, I think Bonnie South's got a shot at her if she goes there. There's a devil if she goes there. I think there are multiple horses that could take down Letruska because Letruska will face pace pressure. So, I mean, hopefully Private Mission is one of those horses that's out there pushing. But, man, I think this is going to be your favorite that you can play against.
I think it's a great comment from Michael Myers. He says, Private Mission isn't beating Letruska, but Private Mission is why Letruska loses. So going to what you're talking about with the pace there. One quick question. We can move on. Nick says, how much money does Private Mission take? And will Letruska be 2-1?
Oof. I mean, I don't think Letruska will be 2-1. I think Private Mission will probably be your fourth choice. I mean, you gotta think Malathat is going to be one of the top two choices because Malathat hasn't really faced anyone in the older division yet.
Yeah,
and so you got to think that she's probably the second choice behind Letruska, and then it's just going to be interesting to see who else falls in there and who else shows up. And again, it's going to be a lot about pace to me. Like, look, Letruska 2-1 if she's loose is a great bet, but I have a feeling we're going to have more pace signed up than just Letruska in this spot.
I love that there's been an ad for Pepto-Bismol on the screen for 5 minutes. I just realized that. Mike, we only had one race affecting the FanDuel Turf Mile. It's won by the guy that's right here, Aaron Halterman's top pick. Mo Forza has won, I believe, 5 races in a row now, including the City of Hope Mile 2 years in a row, the Del Mar Mile Handicap 2 years in a row. He was supposed to go to the Breeders' Cup last year, and injury kept him away for several months. He seems to be just as good as he was before. He's a goddamn knucklehead because he won't change his leads in his stretch. He ran all wonky. If he ever straightens things out, this horse is a monster. He's got the wizard from Bonzal, Peter Miller, in his corner. So we'll see what happens. Do you think that this horse is a top pick here? I know you've been a little reticent because of the Euros who might come over.
Yeah, I'm still on pause in this one. Look, Mo Forza was – I'm shocked this horse got up over the weekend. When you watch the replay,
how did Smoothie lose this again? The poor horse.
No clue how Mo Forza won, and it wasn't even that close on the line either. It wasn't like this was like this photo finish. You knew that Mo Forza had beaten him. So yeah, I mean, look, I don't think Mo Forza is good enough to win the race. I think Mo Forza is going to get bet. So this is one of those horses that, as much as I love Mo Forza, and that love affair has been going for like 2 years now.
Yes, it has.
I think we're going to be a little over our head in the Breeders' Cup, and I think Mo Forza is one of those you can probably bet against, and it's going to take a lot of money in the U.S. markets.
I was looking at this after the race because I'm like, I love – if you listen to the show, you know I love Smooth like straight to death. I don't ever pick him to beat Mo Forza, but he's – if you look at his form, I think there's one race where he hasn't finished within like farther than a length behind the winner. It's crazy. This horse is ridiculously consistent. He just keeps running into a juiced-up horse. Like, time after time, he gives his all. So I love that horse, but didn't get the job done. Michael Myers in the chat says, ladies love winning that mile. Any fillies going? We know God Stormy is going to be showing up. I wouldn't be surprised if Aiden has a Euro that he maybe wants to send over for that. Let's see. I can't think of any other females, but I know for sure God Stormy's targeting that one.
I wouldn't be shocked if we see a massive Euro contingency this year. Just because of what we've seen, like it seems like there's been a bigger presence in New York. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some horses we aren't even expecting that end up showing up for the Breeders' Cup this year.
I think when Appleby won that first Grade One and made it look pretty easy, I think the rest of them went, wait a minute.
Yep.
That was like his C-minus horses. Did you guys see? Yeah. Like, all right. Tell His Royal Highness whoever we're loading up the horses and we're gonna send the D stock over to America.
This mile's going to be interesting, though. You're going to have Raging Bull. You'll have Ride a Comet. You're going to have a couple of the other horses that we've kind of talked to Beth about on the show. It'll be interesting to see how they stack up against the Euros that come over.
Wouldn't it be just a mother effer if Nick's right and Raging Bull wins it? All these years, all these times, we've wanted to keep picking him. He lets us down, and he comes into the mile when nobody's expecting it. And
here's the thing. If he goes off at 17-1, he'll be on my tickets.
That's true.
He's got it's 17-1. Like, this is the time to have him at least versus when he's like freaking 1-5 and 1-2 and loses to God Stormy by 8 lengths, getting his perfect setup. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, the next division we'll talk about is the sprint. We had one race, the win in Urin Sanya Sprint Championship, a grade 2 race. Dr. Scheivel wins it with a 103 Beyer, displaying new tactics. Mike, a horse that usually likes to take back and make a run at a horse like a Vertical Threat, who you also used on your tickets. This horse decided to go to the lead. Why? Because the right rein popped right out. Did you know that? Did you notice that?
We talked about it on the feed. Apparently, Pratt yelled that, like, during the race that he lost his rein to Cedillo, and Cedillo is like, oh, well, I'm not going to try and cut you off there. I'm going to kind of let you through and let you just rush right up and through. So there's a little bit of sportsmanship there unable to Cedillo's part, which probably hurt them pretty badly because, you know, you kind of wanted to be on the lead there with Vertical Threat, and then you weren't. But huge race, though, from Dr. Scheivel, and I was actually pretty impressed with the effort because I didn't think he would run off like that.
Yeah, so his co-breeder and minority owner is a good friend of mine. I was celebrating with him in the winner's circle. And first of all, the fact that he's got – this is like the seventh or eighth foal out of the dam. All but one of the other ones were just total junk. Most of them didn't even race. One of them was good but got hurt early. So for him to have like all these pretty crummy horses to do nothing and then this one pop – he's a small-time breeder. He plays a lot of the claiming game. So for me, it was a feel-good story for a friend of mine. However – when you look at this division, like I had the mask on, so I'm glad he couldn't see my face because he's like, bring on Jackies. We want Jackies. I think he's only facing through. And I'm like, Bill, I love you, but oh my God, stop. Don't let other people hear you say that you think that you're going to beat Jackies and you can't. It's Jackies division, right?
Yeah.
No. Okay. You hesitated there. I thought that'd be a surefire yes from you.
Yeah. I would. It is. I want to beat Jackie's Warrior. Is why I hesitate. Right. Like because, look, there's going to be a lot of speed. There's going to be all the horses that have to go to the lead. Jackie's Warrior is probably the fastest of the fast and probably does win this race. But man, if you can beat Jackie's Warrior, this is how you're going to balloon some of these multi race bets. Is you've got to like I'm going to try and beat Latruska. Obviously, I think I've made that pretty clear over the course of this podcast. You have to try and beat one or two of these others in these days. You know, maybe it's just going too deep and trying to get that second horse in there or, you know, playing the 50-cent ticket where you spread and then playing a $2 ticket where you single Jackie's Warrior so that you can kind of weight your opinions a little bit. But man, he's one of those horses that I would like to try and beat. We'll see how it ends up drawing out. Right now, I don't have a horse out of the top of my head that I think can beat him. And it's not Dr. Scheivel. I'm sorry, but we'll see what happens. I mean, man,
chat's blown up about Firenze Fire.
Yeah, but Yaupon is no Jackie's Warrior, right? And we couldn't get by Yaupon, right? And so like
because he was hungry, Mike. He was too hungry to win the race.
You get an apple if you win the race, maybe a mint even. So if you can't get by, then there's a problem there. But yeah, like to me, Jackie's Warrior is one of those where I know there will be sprinters who absolutely say I need the lead, and then Jackie's Warrior is going to be forced to rate. We saw Jackie's Warrior able to do that and Beat Life is Good, which makes him a little bit more sturdy when you're looking at a favorite. But this is one of those where I'm going to wait for the draw and then make a decision. Clearly should be the favorite in the division, but wouldn't mind trying to take a swing at this one.
I wonder, but Bo Liam didn't belong in that mile race at Churchill. I wonder if they'll try and send him, cut him back to six and sprint him. But yeah, Asmussen's always holding a hot hand in the sprint. Let's talk about the Filly-Mair Turf. Two races from the weekend that affected this one. The Grade 3 Weya at Belmont on Sunday. My sister Nat, younger sister of my sister Charlie, sister Charlie. She wins for the second straight year. She went to the Breeders' Cup last year, so we'll see if they want to go that route with her again. She only gets a 94 Beyer. I would stay home with her. I don't think that's going to be anything close to cutting it. Going to Vegas wires the Rodeo Drive. That's the race I said almost got trampled on by the 200-plus owners from my racehorse filling the winner's circle. That was an exciting one because a horse – you and I both used going to Vegas, but we also loved Luck. Mike, I thought the length of the stretch, Luck was going to get there. I would love to see her go off to the Breeders' Cup, Filly-Mair Turf, as well as going to Vegas. I don't think they got a shot there, though. Warlike Goddess is Aaron's pick. What do you think?
We'll see who comes over from Europe. We got like all these turf races. You got to say that. I'm interested in the pace. We could see a similar setup here where going to Vegas just had went off almost even money, down from a 5-2 morning line because there was no other pace in there. Mm-hmm. And that's really what defined the race is that Warlike – going to Vegas was able to just kind of stroll along on the lead and be able to get the job done. Warlike Goddess made a mockery of slow paces at Saratoga. I mean, they were crawling up front, and Warlike Goddess went five wide, never was asked, and ran away from them. So she's a monster. She's a beast. And we'll see how the turf course at Del Mar is playing and if that's going to affect it, because it's a very different turf course than what Warlike Goddess has been over. And we'll see who comes over from Europe. But look, Warlike Goddess, legit pick. I think going to Vegas somehow has a chance in this. If you do end up with Lone Speed there, and we've seen going to Vegas kind of slowly take steps forward and be able to be competitive. But I'm still kind of waiting to see what Euros ship in here before I want to actually stamp the Samo approval on anybody.
Nick says, I love Warlike Goddess. We know, Nick. We know you love Warlike Goddess. But relying on Julian Le Perroux in a big spot scares me a lot. I don't understand. I like Julian. I don't have an issue. I don't bet Kentucky often enough for me to have an issue with Julian Le Perroux. I think that's what that is.
He's won enough on the turf that I on the dirt, every now and then,
Forcible.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay, there you go, one.
Our boy.
and he was killing it at Churchill last year. He was the only one who realized that when it was muddy, you could go down the middle of the dirt track. So, I don't have any Julian Le Perroux hate. Jockeys get too much hate in general.
Nick Shiro pulled Julian's arms out of his sockets and drag his ass to the wire if she has to. That's Dennis, you say some funny shit. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. That was great. Let's see. Was it? No, we'll skip the rest of that. The dirt mile. Neither of these are confirmed, but you had Plainsman win the ACAC going a one-turn mile at Churchill. That's the race that Bo Liam was in. Way too far for that horse. It should be a 6-furlong sprinter. Gets 100 buyer, though, and it's Brad Cox, Joel Rosario. So Breeders' Cup dirt mile could very well be in play. Cox said that he thinks this horse is better at two turns. So I think that's where his mind is going. Eight Rings won an optional claimer Saturday at San Anita. One of the dumbest races I've ever seen is three horses chasing Eight Rings going two turns at San Anita. He gets a 98 buyer. It should be about half that, but it is Baffert and it's Eight Rings. So he'll probably go to the dirt mile or the classic. Either way, life is good. This is where he seems to be pointing. This horse has got to be a lock.
This should be the heaviest favorite of the day in my mind. I mean, I don't – with how Life is Good has performed, I'm not sure how you are trying to beat Life is Good. No one's as fast as him early, so he's going to get the lead. He's going to be comfortable, and I haven't really seen any chink in the armor to think that he's going to slow down late. So right now, to me, Life is Good should be the heaviest favorite of either day.
Yep, I agree with you. I think Aaron agrees with that as well. A lot of people probably be on that train. Aaron said when he lost to Jackie's Warrior, Aaron said that horse, if they place him properly in the right grade one races, should never lose again in his career. And I agree with him. I think this horse has got a world of talent. The turf sprint, this is an interesting one because last week, Mike, we looked at the early Breeders' Cup odds, the futures odds, and when turf sprint, I said, hey, Lieutenant Dan at 25-1, that's a sneaky deal. Aaron liked him for the turf sprint last week. On Friday, down the hill at Santa Anita, which welcome back to that, wins the Eddie D Stakes, looks very impressive, 99 buyer. Arrest Me Red on Saturday in the Belmont Turf Sprint Stakes, grade 3, gets 100 buyer for winning that one. Either of these horses interest you turf sprint-wise, aside from last year, usually the Euros don't factor into this race.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dan, I think, is definitely interesting, down to 10-1 in the market now, so that's a pretty decent drop there.
All right.
Yeah, that's nice and quick. Your favorite right now is Golden Pal at 2.5-1. I mean, I don't know if I really love Golden Pal in this spot. Like, what have we seen from him since last year at the Breeders' Cup? I mean, that to me is you're really putting a lot of faith that he's going to be an absolute stud again, which is possible. And Wesley Ward does a good job, but I just, that's a risky favorite in my mind. And these turf sprints are just wild in general. I mean, they are just absolutely nutty. I do kind of favor some of the California horses. Last time this was around in California, I believe Miller ran 1-2. In this race, Ohm ran second to, who was it? Oh, it was a filly, wasn't it? I can't remember who Ohm ran second to.
I don't either, no.
Anyway, it was Peter Miller 1-2, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see California trainers and California horses kind of dominate this race over California turf. It's going to be really fast going 5 furlongs.
Yeah, then Lieutenant Dan loves the 5-furlong sprints at Del Mar. This horse just loves turf sprinting. I thought that this one would be a little interesting going 6.5, but as you've pointed out before on the show, including last week, that the 6.5 is it's a lot closer to 6 and maybe even 5.5 because they're running down a big hill. And then so they're picking up a lot of speed. They can kind of coast. So not exactly. And they also say it's about 6.5. I don't know if that about goes a little bit beyond or a little bit before 6.5. Doesn't with the run-ups, it doesn't freaking matter anyways.
Also, we've been doing this segment every now and then with the stable them up.
Yeah, you got one?
Real quick, I got to stable them up for one of these two races. So the race at Belmont, the Belmont Turf Sprint Invitational. Go back, watch the race, look at the horse by land and sea. Horse ends up running last. Oh my God, what a trip. So in turf sprints, the last thing you want to do is get stopped, especially when you're making a move and get caught behind horses. The jockey's heels were literally in the horse's ear around the entire turn because the horse had absolutely no room to maneuver. Ends up checking at the top of the stretch to back out of a tight spot and then go around and ends up last, but it's like a competitive last. I know that sounds a little weird, but did some running after checking a full length back to just miss a photo for fifth on a 7-horse field. So it was kind of coming back into it. It was the first time turf sprinting. It showed some speed. Well, first time cutting back to turf sprinting, showed some speed. I am 100% interested in buy land and see next time out, depending where we end up. And I think we're going to get a price because running last is usually not a good way to get that back.
That's a great point. The horse was also, so what Mike is saying about a competitive last, fourth to fifth was a half length, fifth to sixth was a head, sixth to seventh was a nose. So the horse was last, but it wasn't like by 10 lengths. It wasn't like a bunch of the dirt races at Santa Anita.
And like I said, go check out the replay. It's Belmont's ninth race from Saturday, October 2nd. By land and see, the 4-horse just never got to really run at any point. And when you're in a turf sprint and you're trapped behind horses and getting cut off, like it's a death sentence. You can't win the race. So I'm definitely interested in coming back. And we had a good one that we talk about him yet?
We'll get to him. We're not this next one, but the one after it. Don't worry. I got it written down. Don't worry. I'm excited. First, the Philly Mare Sprint. We can go through this real quick. CC wins the Chillingworth Stakes very easily. Gets a 95 buyer. Theoretically, would set her up for the Philly Mare Sprint. She's already heading there because she won the Princess Rooney. However, I hate her in that spot. The reason Michael McCarthy said that he sent her to Florida for the Princess Rooney is because she hates the Del Mar Dirt. How the hell is that going to work for you when the Breeders' Cup is held on the Del Mar Dirt? Gamine looks like a strong play here right now. We'll see who else shows up. But anyone, maybe Abel's the one. She lost her last out, so you're going to get a better price on her.
Man, the thing I keep trying to think about beating Gamine, and then I remember last year, when I'm like, Gamine can't rate. Gamine won't get the lead. Serengeti Empress will get the lead. And Gamine raid right behind her and blew her out of the freaking water. Yep. And so it's like, well, can I really try and make that argument again that Gamine can't rate? Like, I've seen this movie before. Do I really think the ending's going to change? This is one of those where, like, even if the pace comes up hot, isn't Gamine just the best horse? Like, it's a kind of chalky lame single, and I'm not super excited about it, but we've talked about how chalky lame singles on these big days can actually help you pay out if you're able to find the right prices around it or hammer the sequence multiple times. You talked about how chalky it was on Saturday at Santa Anita. Well, look, you had Dr. Shiva win, and then you had Going to Vegas win, and then you had Medina Spirit win, and you had United win in the last. The pick four paid $27, something ridiculous like that. You know what the pick five paid? $486.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a lot more.
And there was an 8-1 shot in front of it. Mm-hmm. There are three singleable horses, some would argue four in that sequence, that you could play a $5 ticket on and cash for almost $5,000. So you're able to do those things if you were able to line up some of these singles in these sequences. And that's what, like, Medina Spirit going off, shockingly, at 6-5, by the way. That was the other thing I thought was interesting. Yes. Real quick before I'm going to go on another tangent now. All the talk about computer money, the computer money got killed at Santa Anita. All the favorites were going into the gate 3-5 and coming out at 6-5, and then they kept winning. And that meant there were huge bets that were coming in on some of these longer shots. And Medina Spirit was a great example. The whole time, sitting at 2-5, 3-5 on the board, and then breaks out at 6-5, which is an absolute steal on Medina Spirit.
Yeah, I forgot. We glossed over that just because I'll go too far in the weeds on these races. But yeah, 6-5 on him, I thought. And after, it was one of those things that everything was a blur, and I was thinking on the way home, I was like, how did I get 6-5 on that horse? Like, it was my single. Yeah. Congrats to us. We cashed the pick four when it went chalk. You actually did. I joke about that. You actually, if you played Mike's tickets, you would have profited because he pressed his opinions in the right spot. So you somehow managed to turn an all chalk pick four profitable. So congrats on that.
And Daryl brings up that, so it was $37 for the pick four, $550. So I was short. I was light on the pick five. And wow, that was an 8-1 shot. So an 8-1 shot returned closer to 16-1. Because of the pick five versus the pick four. That's takeout, and that's the fifth leg. The combination of the two is the reason you're getting better prices there. That's why the pick five is a better bet than the pick four.
I appreciate that information, Daryl. Nick, just real quick, the turf sprint, Golden Pals running Swin at Keeneland. I totally forgot the Woodford Stakes is this weekend. Mike's pick for the turf sprint is whoever wins the Woodford. It's whoever runs second with a really bad trip in the Woodford. That is going to be Mike's pick in the turf sprint.
It could be true. It could be. Maybe Golden Powell runs second.
I think that's actually going to be his pick.
maybe Golden Powell runs second. with a bad trip.
Well, then, yeah, we'll see. All right, let's talk about the Friday, the Future Stars Friday horses. We'll start with the TVG Juvenile. Five races, really, that could potentially have an impact, starting with the horse that is Aaron's top pick as of this post. Last week, Corniche won the Grade 1 American Pharoah, passes the two-turn test. Jack Christopher wins the one-turn Champagne. It's interesting, Mike, that that's, to me, is very much a sprinting horse, winning a one-turn race. Chad Brown won this race twice previously with Practical Joke, sprinter, Complexity, sprinter. We'll see what happens with Jack Christopher. Also, three maidens to talk about. Winning Map, a Bob Baffert horse, wins Sunday on debut at Santa Anita. The runner-up was a very nice horse, so I know that was one you were looking at, Sir Loudon. And then at Churchill on Saturday, two of them, Dr. Perry, and our first Stable Him Up run-back winner, Trafalgar, wins at Churchill on Saturday. I was very happy about that. I was not happy that everybody else saw what I did, apparently, because he was 9-5 on the morning line and 4-5 in the gate.
I will say this. I went back and I watched the race. A pretty impressive race from him. And I say that because they went 22-44, and Churchill was a speed demon track. Again, if anyone wasn't watching, it was the entire meet. You just had to play speed because that's what was winning. And the horse that runs 22-44 on the lead runs second. The horse who was second runs third. Trafalgar comes from 15 off. Like, not kidding, 15 back maybe?
Yeah.
And runs him down by two lengths in the stretch. Like, no one else closes, just him. It's just one of those where you can see a horse running against the track bias. So that one actually is probably a little bit better than it looks on paper. So I may, if we end up in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I wouldn't totally play against that horse. I think that you might actually get a decent price, and that race is a lot stronger than it looks when you're coming off the pace like that.
He was fantastic. The price... I was really excited because I was really excited because I was like, oh yeah, this is the horse that I'd stabled up. I wanted to see. This is a new thing we're trying. I want to see. Did I one of the first ones that I'm going to get it right? And I got it right, but apparently it wasn't. It's like when Corniche won his debut. It's like, yeah, like you thought the horse was going to be good. He's a $1.5 million purchase with Baffert. Like, I'd hope he's pretty freaking good. I thought that he looked better than the 85 buyer, by the way, that he got for the American Pharoah. Santa Anita was very slow, deep tire. It's a lot like how it was for the Breeders' Cup 2 years ago. It's a very sluggish, like the times came back very slow for these races. I thought that visually, if you don't look at the times, if you don't look at the buyer, I thought that he looked very strong. He is the horse that I would want right now. We got the Breeders' Futurity this weekend, but he is the one that I want moving forward. What do you think about this division as a whole?
Look, man, until California shows that they can beat until the East Coast shows they can beat California, I'm going to be on the younger California horses. We saw this all last season in the preps. Wherever a California horse went, they won. I mean, you look at like Hot Rod Charlie, I think is the best example, where he was a third tier, second tier horse out here, or out where you are, I should say, in the West last year.
Yep.
During the prep season. And then, you know, with some injuries, kind of slowly got knocked up, but they sent him to Louisiana to get away from some of the California horses. He goes there, rolls in Louisiana, runs third in the Derby. You can see him, obviously he's developed a little bit since then. So not knocking the development there, but that's an example of a horse getting away from California and just crushing the competition. I think we've consistently seen, outside of Essential Quality, most of those good three-year-olds this year were California horses. And I kind of expect that trend to continue at this point. I don't see a reason to think that these younger males are going to be all of a sudden better on the East Coast when they haven't been for a year and a half now.
I completely agree with you. As far as Jack Christopher goes, he comes out of this with the best buyer from the weekend with a 93. But like I mentioned, I think he's by Munnings. His dam never won at two turns. Both of his older siblings that raced didn't do anything at two turns. So I'm very, very convinced this is a sprinting horse. He looked great in the race, and then I texted the group. I wasn't overly impressed. I meant thinking, can this horse handle two turns? Now, if you're fast enough, if Del Mar's deep, it doesn't matter. Like, are you bred for two turns or not? You're going to be winning that race, kind of like a Nick's Go looked. But what do you think about Jack Christopher?
I think he might be this year's Jackie's Warrior.
Thank you. Yes. Like, great analogy.
Where they're going to get excited about this horse. They're going to try it two turns, maybe twice. And then we're going to find out we should have been sprinting all along. Right. Like I just Jackie's Warrior was the favorite in the Breeders' Cup last year. And then completely kind of fell off the cliff because it was just too fast, too long. It just was not a good plan for Jackie's Warrior. But we know how good that horse is now. I think that's kind of what you're going to see from Jack Christopher here. And I kind of have that feeling about another horse we're probably going to talk about here pretty shortly on the Philly side.
Well, last question we'll get out of this one. Dennis brings up Wit. He can't quit Wit. That horse, I think, either you need a new jockey because I rode him right up the ass of 100-to-1 shot, or I don't know what you do, but I can, Witt, can we officially move on from him until like he gets some time off and we see him at Gulfstream?
Well, Pletcher pretty much said he can't break, and he said he can't fix it. So I don't understand how Witt is going to be competitive at a grade one level.
Well, this fixes a lot.
Yeah, but Witt's a grade, has black type.
He's I got a grade three win as an early
this,
two.
This fixes a lot too.
I know. I hate that that's a thing. Speaking of which, by the way, we're not going to talk about any of the horses that are affected by, I don't think. But an angle I've picked up on in California recently, Richard Mandela gelding a horse. Subconscious has won two straight. He did it again to Santa Anita. Since being gelded, he was a pretty high-profile horse. United is a gelding that would really improve once they snipped him. And then he had another one on Sunday that won. So, sorry, weird tangent. Anyways, Juvenile Turf. Annapolis was Aaron's pick. He wins the Grade 2 Pilgrim at Belmont. A really nice effort to beat a really stubborn Chad Brown horse. No pace in that race, so I think he looked even better than what the form possibly shows. McKinnon looked really sharp winning the Zuma Beach. He loves Del Mar turf, so he could be tough. He wins at Sunday at Santa Anita. And then Ready to Perform at Laurel in the Laurel Futurity on Saturday. Probably not a player as far as win goes, but in a second I'll make a case for him as a possible underneath horse at a price. What did you think about Annapolis in this division? Is he your leader?
So I was wildly impressed with Annapolis' first race. I was actually not that impressed with the race over this weekend. I was more impressed with what McKinnon was able to do over the weekend. And McKinnon looked like a beast this weekend. I'm a little concerned McKinnon hasn't faced that much. I think Annapolis has probably faced more. But you can only beat what's in front of you. And McKinnon looked very good doing that. It was an expensive horse. And this was, if you know the ownership group, ERJ Racing, former Blues number one pick, now plays for the Colorado Avalanche. McKinnon is his teammate. He's supposed to be one of the best players in hockey. Eric Johnson says he's the best player in hockey. He was the owner. And that's why he named this horse McKinnon, because it's the best horse he'd ever seen. So there's some...
It's a big angle.
Yeah, like there's some love. And and before you say, oh, what does Eric Johnson know? Eric Johnson is all over horse racing. He is in a lot of horses. ERJ Racing, he's worked with three or four different ownership groups and been part of a lot of big money horses as well. So I would say he's got some... Who's part of Lazy Daisy?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I would say he's got some pretty good chops at this point. So I think McKinnon is definitely a threat. This is one, though, again, like, who's shipping in? When you go to the Breeders' Cup Contenders page, there's like nine pictures of the Breeders' Cup statue, which means they're all Europeans that are coming over, right? So it'll be interesting to see where everyone ends up and who's in the race. And I think once you get a little bit more clarity there, then you can kind of make a pick. But clearly McKinnon and Annapolis are the two best horses that we've seen right now in the U.S.
I will agree with everything you said and add on that the post draw is very important for these races because it's a very quick run into that turn. The turns are tight at Del Mar, so you can get boxed out and get bounced around on the outside very quickly. Remember, Anthony Van Dyke was the big favorite, drew a terrible post, and that's probably what kept him from winning when he was in the Breeders' Cup. Juvenile Fillies, you said you were excited about this race, and I think I know why. Echo Zulu wins the Grade 1 for Zet, and if Jack Christopher was bred to sprint, Echo Zulu was bred to quarter horse. Ain't Easy wins the Grade 2 Chandelier Friday at Santa Anita. Only an 81 buyer, but I thought that visually, again, like Corniche, she looked great. Echo Zulu, the female Jackie's Warrior, if you look at her breeding, she's a half to J-Boy's Echo, who's a multiple Grade 6 winner. Echo Town was a Grade 1 winner, I believe, sprinting, so plenty of great pedigree. I'm thinking you don't want to play against her at the Breeders' Cup.
I am just crossing my fingers we get enough speed in this race. I think she is 100% beatable going two turns if she's forced to go, you know, that 22 and change. And I think she's naturally going to go that fast. That's the thing. And so if anyone is able to put any type of pressure on her, I think you see a similar effort. I think Jackie's Warrior is a great parallel here to Echo Zulu, where you could see Echo Zulu just fall apart down the stretch if they go too fast, which I think is a legit concern in this spot. So Echo Zulu is the favorite right now. I'm completely going to leave off tickets. And that she's probably going to be 3 to 5, 4 to 5. So it's going to be a little scary for a couple of minutes there, day one on Friday. But look, you got to choose who to fade. You got to figure out how to get around some of these horses. And to me, this horse is bred to sprint. They're going to keep stretching it out. But we haven't seen this horse go two turns yet. I think it's going to be a huge problem. I think the pace is going to be a problem. I'm going to try and beat Echo Zulu.
Dr. Tang chiming in agrees. We'll go back to the distaff division here because Chris brings up Blue Stripe, an interesting horse. She had a 7-furlong workout at Santa Anita today. When we did the odds checker thing for looking at the Breeders' Cup, I brought Blue Stripe up because she is a half to Blue Prize, who is a horse that Mike and I were very happy that retired after she won the distaff at Santa Anita. Yeah, she has not raced in the U.S. No, she just shipped up. She's hanging out at Santa Anita. Not in a barn that you would think of either, but I think it's Manny Padilla has her. But yeah, watch out for her. I don't know. I think she's going to go to the Spinster at Keeneland. That's the only way she makes it to the Breeders' Cup is if she goes to that race. But we'll see what happens. Nick Feldman says, what about the Cassie horse that wired Portfolio Company to back? Coinage. I do not know where Coinage is headed. I'm looking that up right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So I can't give you too much insight there.
Coinage was third in a stakes at Monmouth on the 26th. Yeah, okay. So probably not going to the Breeders' Cup then. It's a New York bred, so the Cassie will probably take his time with that horse. All right, Mike, let's take a look at the Juvenile Fillies turf. We got two left to go. Aaron's pick was Wild Beauty. He says, last week we said our pick was, quote, Euro to be named later. Got it after she won the Natalma Stakes. As far as what we saw stateside, really wasn't anything too impressive. Cairo Memories wins the Surfer Girl at San Anita on Sunday with a 70 buyer. Miss Grillo, the grade 2 race, the biggest of the three, a 69 buyer. Chad Brown had two horses in there. Both of them lost. He sent Consumer Spending to Laurel. She wins the Salima, gets the best buyer of the day, a 74. She looked the best, I thought, but also faced probably the weakest of those fields. I'm with Aaron on this one. I think we're going to – let's just stick with Wild Beauty. She was a beast in the Natalma.
Yeah, this is actually pretty easy. It's Wild Beauty right now. And I'm almost not even that concerned about who comes over. You go back and watch that Natalma, missed the break. Goes 1.5 million wide. High fives the fans a couple times on the rail and on the inside. She went so far outside and just runs by everybody and makes them look like they're standing still down the stretch. Looked like an absolute beast.
Yep. Juvenile Turf Sprint, last one on Friday. We had an impressive effort from an out-of-towner, one-timer, an officially homeless one-timer since Arlington is now closed. Comes out to San Diego on Friday, goes gate to wire in the $100,000 Speakeasy Stakes. E.T. Bird, he's out of his mid-50s, the jockey journeyman shipped in to get the win. It was fun. I don't think this horse has a shot in hell. Wesley Ward has Twilight Gleaming, and I'm sure several others that will go to this race.
Yeah, I would love. I hope ET gets the ride. If you don't know ET, he's been in Arlington for it seems like a million years. He was there when I was like 8, and he was one of the top jockeys back then. And so he's just been this journeyman jockey that's one time for Arlington is kind of what this whole horse would be. So it's fun to see one timer get into the Breeders' Cup. It would be really cool if ET keeps them out. I'm not sure what the ownership group's going to do, but hopefully we do the right thing here and he gets to keep them out. Horse probably doesn't have much of a shot, right? I mean, just to be honest here, it's going to be a tough spot for him. But this is a division that's absolutely wide open. There isn't a Golden Pal this year. There isn't a horse that's just kind of galloping away from everybody. So this is one of them that I think you're going to have to spread a little bit and look for a price. I don't hate one timer. I mean, he went real fast up front. And I want speed at Del Mar over this turf course, especially in the two-year-old division. So I think one timer's got a shot, but we're going to need to see who else signs up and if he can be the speed of the speed.
Michael says ET got his 1,000th win in Arlington in July. It was awesome to see it live. Yeah, I didn't really know anything about this guy until the horse showed up, and I was like, I need to research who this jockey is. Yeah, seems like a pretty interesting guy, one of the true bloodlines of the sport in the Midwest there. So, listen, that'd be fantastic.
I want to say he was Arlington's all-time leading jockey. He was when I was there in like the early 90s. He may still be, but he was the all-time winning jockey in like the mid 90s.
Nick Feldman in the chat here, there's a couple of things. He says, watch out for Averly Jane in the Juvenile Turf Sprint. She's back to grass this weekend at Keeneland, even though she's a filly. Listen, Keeneland's going to be an exciting weekend, and we can break the news now because Brandon Coates is asking. Tell me you guys will do a Keeneland pick four. You're goddamn right we're going to Keeneland for the pick four this weekend. First of all, there's like 18 different Breeders' Cup winning urine stakes at Keeneland this weekend over the 3 days. But, yeah, of course we're doing the pick four there. We don't get to go to Keeneland that often. And, Mike, I don't remember ever hitting a pick four ticket at Keeneland, but it's fun to try. Me personally, you've cashed for some monsters. Me personally, I keep swinging the bat.
Yeah, Keeneland's been pretty good to me, not gonna lie. Keeneland's been, yeah, just swing a little less magic, a little less movement.
My
up
light
there.
Fell down when I said that.
Keeneland's been good. That's where we cashed. I think it was a $15,000 pick five. And it's one of those tracks where I was notoriously bad at it, and like I watched so many replays to try and get better at that track. There's definitely some nuances when you're at Keeneland. So it's especially those two-year-olds, the freaking 4.5 furlong races where you're basically on the turn already. But I can't wait to have Keeneland back, man. I'm so excited to have it this weekend. It's a short meet, but it's going to be a fun one. I'm bummed I can't go and play the tournament live. I wish I was headed there for Saturday.
The next inside track wagering guide is coming to Keeneland as well. So if you're excited about Keeneland, join Mike and I on Thursday at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. We're going to go through that late pick four. Daryl brings up the Breeders' Cup pick six. capture all those Keeneland races. Oof. Oof. All right. Now, okay, we're gonna say Keeneland's gonna be involved. Let's not.
It depends what the denomination is on the pick six, because it gets really tough to give out pick six tickets if it's like a dollar. I'm not sure what I think it's a dollar in the sequence he's referencing. It's actually a great sequence, by the way, everyone. That is also a great sequence, everyone. Yep. If you're playing Keeneland, they're having these three turf races, a 15% takeout, pick three. You should be getting involved. It's a $3 minimum. We've talked about how like the $1 minimum and the pick fives make a big difference. You've seen the $5 Golden Daily Double pay a huge because it's a $5 denomination. This one's a $3 denomination. I think this is going to be one of the better, more fun bets.
Yeah, I remember when they announced it, the first thing I thought of was, oh, Mike would love this. And then 2 seconds later, I get an alert. Mike Somich retweets. I'm like, hey, Mike, I was right. Mike liked that one. Daryl says that the denomination for the pick six is a dollar, that last week's at Belmont and Santa Anita went chalky and paid $200. That sounds expensive.
I think what we might do is we might figure out, we'll play the late pick four.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll talk about the other races that make up the sequence. And we'll just have to be a little bit shorter and do it after the pick four sequence. So if people want to stick around, get a little extra love for that piece of it. And then, yeah, man, I kind of almost want to throw in the turf trifecta too and talk about the turf pick three and talk about that too. There's just so much good Keeneland stuff, man. I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I have a quick question for you. I know you're going to wrap this up in a second. This is the stuff I think about. I want Maxfield and Tacitus to both go to the Breeders' Cup. Okay? You know why? Who would you bet head-to-head? Because there's got to be a Maxfield-Tacitus head-to-head bet, right?
Ooh, I would take Tacitus.
Would you?
Because you got to think would...
Tacitus. Tacitus is plus money, right? Probably like plus 150, yes. Minus 130.
Yes. I would take Tacitus because I think that he'll be closer to the pace early. And okay. I think at Del Mar, it's really hard to – you talked about Dr. Post earlier, how he was the only horse that managed to close the Pacific Classic. I think that Tacitus will have the advantage of being farther ahead of Maxfield when they come off the turn, and Maxfield doing what Express Train and Royal Ship did in the Pacific Classic, which is
yeah.
So – yeah, that's what I would do. What would you do? Tacitus because he's the better price?
Oh, he's also the better horse. my Maxfield hate is like full now. Like complete full Maxfield hate. I feel vindicated. I was right. That horse is garbage. I'm like, I am correct.
This is, God, the chat. I look away for two seconds. The chat blows up and Vinny's not even here.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you bring up Tacitus and Maxfield and everyone starts talking, man. That's all you got to do. That's how you have a good show.
What Michael Myers is saying, I said that before when he was in he came to for the big cap. I said Maxfield didn't look like he wanted. He reminded me of McKenzie. McKenzie could finish at a quarter. McKenzie didn't want to go a mile and a quarter. I think Maxfield is I think he's best at a mile and an eighth.
One more question.
Yeah.
What odds would you give me that Dr. Post finishes third or fourth, just third or fourth, in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Ooh. I mean, you're going to get a good price, probably 25.
Knowing that I will put money on this if you give me a good number.
Well, I'm not actually going to take the bet. If I was a bookmaker, I would say, probably like 25, 30 to 1. Just because, I mean, you're asking, he's going to be a price, right? And to bet him to be exactly third or fourth, I think you're asking a lot. Maybe 20. 25, 30, maybe that's what he's like race day.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me know. Well, I don't know. What would be a price that you would want to take? I know that this is something that you love.
I mean, this would be a really hard one to figure out to book because I'm specifically saying third or fourth, right? And so that really kind of messes with it. I would say a fair price would probably be around 20 to 1.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, 20 to 1.
Maybe 15 to 1. Because his style is just perfect to grind up at 30 to 1 and come in third or fourth, right? I mean, and so it's he's not winning, so it's – and he's probably not running second. So it's like, okay, where is he going to run? And then you kind of get there. So anyway, just wanted to see if we could, because I'll take it for like $5 if you want to throw it out there.
There's the cost analysis on that. No, I'm not doing that. Like I said, but Mike and I, you've figured out we're excited about Keeneland. Keeneland's going to be involved. We'll probably do the pick four, but we'll talk about the pick six thing that Daryl brought up and the dollar pick three, the all turf one that was mentioned earlier. Sorry, $3.
$3 pick three. The base is so important in that one. It's going to eliminate. You can't go five by five by five. You have to be short. You have to have opinions. You got to hit them.
Mike Myers, do you just key Dr. Post and Tass as third in the try? I'd say if you key them in the like third and fourth on a super, That's a cheap super. You'd have a nice paying super with those horses hitting third and fourth.
I mean, you really, it's Dr. Post's going to run third. Tass is going to run fourth.
Yes. Yeah. You could just, you know, key them that way too. Yeah. Yeah. Spread around.
Bullet, bullet. Don't need anyone else.
Press tickets. That's going to do it for the horse racing side. Mike, do you have time? I want to ask you that. Do you have time to talk about football?
Yeah, let's chat it up.
All right. So we'll see you back on Thursday if you're just here for the horse racing. Let's talk about some football. The Detroit Lions. I wanted to find a paper bag to put on my hat to put on my head for the start of the show and wear my jersey because the Lions are just ridiculous. You didn't. You kind of came back down to earth a little bit. You were really, really hot, but that's okay. It's a marathon, not a sprint. This is how you bounce back. Your overall thoughts of the weekend, and then talk about tonight, Monday Night Football, Las Vegas at the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, like I said, even weekend, we were 3-3 in the article and then 3-2 in the honorable mention. So we pay for the juice if you played everything. I know Michael Myers did a good job of dodging a couple of my not-so-great picks. I kind of got a little upset there that we lost Teddy Two Gloves in the first half. I still think Denver would have been a little more dangerous, but that one kind of stung. I got to say, Bill Belichick's decision to kick that field goal, I mean, that has to be one of the worst decisions we've seen all year. Kicking a 54-yarder in the driving rainstorm instead of going for it on 4th-and-3, when, like, literally, if you give the Brady the ball back with a minute and something on the clock, or 55 seconds on the clock, he's probably going to give – Tampa's probably still the favorites. Like, I'm just shocked he made that decision. A 56-yard field goal, sorry. Yeah, it's just wild that he did that. Look, the Rams game, that was an obvious letdown spot. They're playing on Thursday nights against Seattle. Don't take too much into that. I think Arizona's now going to be overrated, so I'm probably more likely to fade Arizona now. I think it's one of those takeaways. Big Ben, oh, my God, is he bad. Faded in the last 2 weeks.
I called it. Said they're going to be terrible.
If Big Ben starts, you should be playing against Big Ben. Like, it's that bad at this point. And it's not like Dwayne Haskins is exactly a good quarterback behind him. So I'm not even sure where you go from here. I think we've got some issues there in Pittsburgh. As for tonight's game, I think it's going to be wildly entertaining. I only have one bet right now. It's Justin Herbert over passing yards. I think he's going to be able to throw quite a bit on this defense. I think he's going to have to throw quite a bit on this defense. I do think you're going to see some points, the ball moving up and down the field. I'm excited to watch this one. I might get involved in game a little bit, but right now for me, it's just Justin Herbert over passing yards.
You can check out the free pick analysis over at racingdudes.com/sports. This is the burgeoning sports side of the Racing Dudes army here. It's been going pretty well over there. I know Papa Dude did well this weekend, and he and Aaron Haltzman did another episode of Dudes Who Bet Sports that aired just before we went live. That's a great show. I talked before. I love just listening to them because I don't follow football like you guys do. I feel like I understand enough from listening to the show, but I really tune in for the Papa Dude rants. And he started to go on one, and he caught himself, and he said, I'm not going to get into it. And so all I had to do in the chat was just say something, and Aaron just gave him a little poke. Like eight minutes. It was so glorious. And it was just like, I was like Daniel Bryan in the background, just going like this. Yes, yes. Like, I love the old man rants that he goes. He's not an old man, but I love when he goes on the old man style rants. It's so great. And apparently Oklahoma's got a huge game this weekend that they're very nervous about facing. So if they lose, Monday's show is going to be pretty epic.
Oklahoma not great this year. It's been a little rough being a Sooners fan. They saw some close calls, and now, not a great team.
Well, thank you so much for joining Mike and I on this episode of the Magic Mike Show. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Curtis Kellewaard. He is at SomoBomb18, #1, #8. Corporal Rewards at Racing_Dudes. Like we said, we'll be back Thursday covering Keeneland's Pick 4. So bring your PPs. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of big races on that one. And then, of course, enjoy Monday Night Football tonight. And if you're playing, if you're betting, follow Mike because he's always got lots of fun football tweets. So I'm excited about Thursday. I'm excited about Keeneland. And we'll be back on there. You ready, partner?
Let's do it, man. Keeneland, yeah, let's go.
Until next time, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this week.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
Death, taxes, and Magic Mike on Monday.